Welcome to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
I think that this world, it needs men that are willing to make the hard call.
Central Maine's best comics podcast, by default.
Ain't no thing like me, Stephanie.
Here are your hosts, Zach and Jared.
Matt's coming. No. When do we start?
Hey, welcome back, or welcome for the first time.
See, I like that. I just, how about welcome to the show, or, you know, hello, fan of the podcast.
I don't want anyone to be called fans.
What, you don't want fans? You don't want people to feel good about listening to our show?
I don't think we deserve that. It's not a moniker I'd go with.
All right, that's fair.
I'll take a listener.
Okay, listener. Hello, listeners. I just feel like the welcome lacks welcoming.
Then you do it. I feel like you lack it.
Okay, I'll do it. Are you ready?
Are you ready to stick the landing?
Okay, let's restart.
No, first time out of the gate. Let's see.
No, wait. You're going to restart the show, play the sounder again, and I'm going to...
It's 30 seconds. I'm not playing it a second time.
No, you're going to play it a second time.
No, I won't.
You know how hard it is for you to edit that into the show? Not very.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear it twice.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Okay, here we go. Give me a countdown.
No, you got 3, 2, 1, off the cuff, stick the landing. Let's see it.
Welcome back to the Editor's Note Podcast. Today, we talk about what happened to Shaft and why he fell from glory to end up in such a crappy movie. We talk about Steel. Plus, we have all of the pop culture, comics, and movie news you can handle here on the show today. I'm Jared, joined by Zach. He's the owner of the Editor's Note Comics comic book store in Hollowell, and this is our show.
You missed the comics on the first one, so right out of the gate, like word number three you missed.
Yeah, but it was way...
So that's an F.
No, that was not an F. I'm going to start the show from now on.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Those dulcet tones.
Because you know what? Nobody knows who we are. You never introduce us.
That's because it says it in the intro. The intro says it. You'd know if you listened to the intro.
I don't have to listen to the intro. I skip over that 30 seconds. Who wants to listen to that twice?
And no one did.
I'm just saying, I felt like that was a stronger opening.
Okay.
Into the preamble.
Well, from there, I guess.
Is it really a preamble? Because we're not walking. It's not before we walk. We never walk. Ambulatory. It's Latin for walk.
I don't know. I just assume.
You know what assuming does? Do you?
You going to do it?
Nope. I'm going
to. All right. Great.
Make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, there it is.
Let's go.
Oh, that was original. All right. Moving on.
So just like my opening. It was excellent. I'm feeling spicy tonight. Let's go.
It's F's all around so far.
Yeah. F you because you don't even know what you're talking about. You have no talent or ear for this kind of thing. So from there, from our preamble, let's go into our weekly news segment.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's time for the news.
You don't have to the preamble.
I am hijacking the show tonight. I have come with energy because you subjected me to some real garbage, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Well, in that case, I'm going to start by talking about something you have no opinion on.
Oh, excellent.
It's time for Game of Thrones talk, baby.
Oh, can I be like the idiots on the internet who hated it? And just for no reason, like, that was dumb, and they don't back it up. It's like someone writing a thesis, like, I think this is stupid, and then they don't tell you why it's stupid.
Yeah, it's those Last Jedi people again.
All it is I have come to a conclusion that all Twitter is a place for people to expound theses.
Sign petitions.
Yeah, put out a thesis, and they don't back it up. It's just long enough to write a thesis statement with nothing to back it up. And usually that thesis statement is, that sucked, or wow, that was awesome, or I can't believe they did that, or I've wasted 8 years of my life, or so what? It came to an end, and you're just upset because it came to an end.
I'm going to do a couple non-spoiler things, and then I will mark in the time codes when the spoilers happen.
Full disclosure, I've never seen Game of Thrones. I'm understanding that the ending will be ruined for me when I eventually go to binge it this summer. But I'll probably forget how it ends, because somebody spoiled the end of Sons of Anarchy for me anyway, but I still watched it. And I still was like, oh, that can't be true. And then right up to the very end, I'm like, oh, that's not going to happen. And it totally did happen. But anyway.
Charlie Hunnam Jesus himself into a truck.
He did.
I don't know what happened, but I know that much.
Yes. Much like his father drove his own motorcycle into a truck as well.
Although, that Ron Perlman?
No, Ron Perlman was his stepdad.
Okay, I don't care.
Who, well, it was wishy-washy as to whether, actually, no, it wasn't wishy-washy. His dad was actually, his bike was sabotaged, I think, if I remember correctly. By Ron Perlman, who is awesome in that. There's a whole great prison scene I should have you watch. I can't really mention the words he uses on air.
Great.
But it was, tell you what, Ron Perlman made it happen.
my reaction when it was done is, it was fine, but I don't think it was a very spectacular finale because my emotion when it was done was nothing. I wasn't happy. I wasn't sad. I just went, okay, and I turned it off, which is not high praise to an end, I guess.
Did it feel...
It doesn't feel like they weren't swinging for the fences or trying anything crazy. One thing made me laugh that probably wasn't supposed to, but...
Was it Peter Dinklage?
No.
No.
Although, you know what, I'll just do spoilers now. Mark, I'll have it down below when they end.
Okay.
A lot of this episode was Dinklage. There's no fighting in it at all. But Dinklage, it's just following him. It's like over an hour long. I think 40 minutes we're just watching him do mundane tasks. Like, at one point, he's picking up bricks. At another point, he's pushing in chairs. There's a then he's walking down some stairs. And there's an extended shot just of him kind of half sleeping for like 30 seconds. And then he goes to a couple of meetings. I'm like, this is really mundane.
Wow. A day in the life of Tyrion Lannister.
Woo! And then, you know, the big spoiler.
Does he hang out with Doyne at all? Is Doyne in this?
The big spoiler is, you know, after some incest kissing.
Okay.
The show is pretty heavy on the incest.
That's what I've understood.
Is John killing Danny and whatever. And at that point, the whole thing felt rushed, but then her dragon comes up and it burns down the throne because the throne is what corrupted her and all this. Like, boy, that dragon has a sense of dramatic timing and metaphor.
So they melt the Iron Throne?
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of that?
It was a metaphor.
You're a metaphor.
I don't know. It's just pretty boring, to be honest. I mean, I'm not like pounding down the doors. I mean, I've read the books. I've seen the show. And at the end of the day, it's never something I fell in love with, so yeah. I don't really care. End of spoilers, it was fine.
Yeah, and people are just kind of all worked up over nothing.
Fair weather fans, these are the Last Jedi people. They'll have something else to complain about in 2 months, I'm sure.
Oh, I wanted to share something with you I learned. I had to look up the actual statistic because my beard and mustache have grown quite robust, and I've been having like liquid get stuck in them, and I found this
great
fact out. Did you know... Every year in the UK, an estimated 162,719 pints of alcohol, of beer, are lost in drinkers with mustaches.
Wasn't there also a report that like England is like the heaviest drinking nation in the world? So no, not a real surprise.
Wow. Well, yeah, but still, it's...
That's what they have for boozing it up.
It's also gotten to the point where I need to trim my beard and mustache, but right now it's playoff season. It's championship season for track, so I can't touch it. I have to let it go. It's a superstition, Zach. Had you been a successful athlete, you would know these things.
I was captain of multiple teams.
And what were their records?
Not great.
Exactly. I said a successful athletic career.
Not good at all.
You're probably one of the few people in the history of basketball at an amateur level to get 6 fouls in one game.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. Just those techs, baby. They add up.
You probably played a style of basket brawl as opposed to basketball.
That's fair.
Okay. See? Just saying.
Speaking of petitions,
yes.
Rumor has it that Robert Pattinson is in final negotiations to play Batman. Okay. That's my hot take.
People poo-pooed Heath Ledger being the Joker, and we got an excellent Joker.
This is the one that always gets the kicking. This is the only time I ever think about this movie, is people like, people didn't want Michael Keaton because of Mr. Mom. I'm like, God, Mr. Mom's legacy is just taking a kicking.
It really is.
That's the only thing people remember about Mr. Mom.
My question is, will Batman sparkle in the daylight?
That was a million years ago. He doesn't like those movies. No one likes those movies.
That's not true. There were a bunch of people who loved those movies and were obsessed with them, especially when they had the weird animal sex and they tore the room up.
Mostly like preteen girls and... He didn't like those movies. They're long done. I've seen him in other stuff. He's decent enough. Is he would have been my first choice? No, but I also haven't seen him do it. But I also argue there's never been a good Batman, so hey.
Oh, come on.
There's never been a good Batman, not live action. That's not true. Adam West was appropriate for the 60s, but no one since Adam West.
Bold statement.
I've said it before.
I know, but still, it doesn't make it any less bold tonight.
I don't change my opinion. They're all crap.
Okay.
Also, once again, petitions. Who cares? This is also why I'm sad that Sonic thing had any traction.
So wait, people are petitioning against Robert Pattinson being Batman?
Yeah.
That didn't take long at all.
No. It hasn't even got the job yet.
Wow. It's like it's trying to get fired before he's hired.
Look, that Sonic movie was going to be terrible one way or the other, so I'm sorry that they caved on the design. Because that just gives clout, like, well, it worked this one time I screamed at the internet, so now it's going to work every time. You made the problem worse, Sonic.
That's fair.
I don't know if it has anything to do with this, but just in general, who cares? Matt Reeves is a good director. We don't know if he has the job or not. I'm not going to prejudge him on something I haven't seen 2 seconds of, but he was in those sparkly movies.
Sparkles.
I got dragged to one of those. It's not a good time.
Well, that's in your past. Learn from it.
Hey, guess what the Star Trek show about Captain Picard's going to be called?
Star Trek Picard.
Damn, that's inventive.
And do you see how they use the Star Trek symbol for the A in Picard?
To be honest, I didn't look at a logo, oh. So no.
I looked at a logo. I did my research for the show this week.
Woo, that is a wild title. I mean, I want it, but I don't know. I would have gone with anything else. The names don't have to. I mean, sometimes it's after the ship.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a statement. It's like it's the next generation. Or it's the Enterprise, or it's the Discovery, or the Voyager. This one's just like, it's a guy.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. The animated series. I guess that one wasn't very creative either.
No, not really.
those are the two least creative so far. The animated series and Picard.
I like it, though. I am excited. I'm all in on this. I cannot wait. It also makes it more real. They've given us a title. They've shown us a title card.
I mean, as much as I want to be about him, I also want to see what his world is and like the people around him.
And what year it is. Like,
just what could be 30 years later.
I hope that there's not a ton of fan service in the beginning. Like if they come right out and they bang us over the head with, you know, B4 now is Data in some sort of way or mention of that or Riker. Like if, you know, they give us Riker or Geordi or anything like that.
It was a long time though. We couldn't have had Brent Spiner back, but we're at a point now. Just thin him up a bit digitally. TV budgets could do that.
Yeah, but here's like the other piece to it. Like, I want to kind of like have this first thing not be exposition about what everyone else is doing. I want to know what Jean-Luc has been doing for the last 30 years.
I think that'll be the show. But I was thinking, like, especially like that Discovery show, we saw those first couple. They put a lot of money into that.
Mm.
You could throw a little bit of money into just de-aging Brent Spiner a bit. That technology is there now. You could totally bring him back. You couldn't do that for a long time, but now it's kind of on the table again.
Hopefully he has a Lucasian chair. And he's working at Harvard. Or no, was it Harvard? Or was
I don't remember. No,
but he had the Lucasian chair. I remember that.
But yeah, I mean, it's coming this fall, so I'm excited.
Oh, it would have been Oxford. It would have been Oxford, I think. It wasn't Harvard. It was definitely Oxford.
Here's a weird race that people care about, but you probably shouldn't. Avengers Endgame has passed Avatar domestically. Not worldwide yet, but it will.
Yeah, that's, you know.
It's just one of those things. It's like interesting to track, but then someone's like, you're just rooting for like different big corporations. You're right. This is weird. Why am I cheering for this? I mean, I'm glad it's doing well. I'm glad we're going to keep getting these movies forever. But at this point,
people are getting stupid rich.
Yeah, what's the difference in my world between, like, once they cross that $1 billion mark, they're making more of these.
They've got that Olive Garden money. Not Amato's money. They got Olive Garden money.
But now it's like, oh boy, they went from, like, 1.3 to 1.4. I'm like, I know they're going to do more. At this point, it's just gravy. Means if I get back to seeing it in the theaters, I guess it'll be there for a while longer.
I know. I got to get on going to see it in IMAX ASAP. That means as soon as possible.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Everyone knew that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to just give some show vernacular a definition.
Bill Murray.
I know him.
Says he is open to Ghostbusters 3.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
He's on, he's off. He'll do it if he dies. He'll do it if Ernie Hudson gets equal screen time. But now it's going to be about like the next generation, so they can probably just get him for a week or less.
Mm.
It'd be nice. I don't want to just do like a one-day cameo gig, but they could get him in and out in a week to do a couple scenes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, they could.
But he was actually talking really positively about the movie, which is, he doesn't always. It's not that he's against it, but no, he was speaking very glowingly about it. He's like, of course I love that movie that paid for my kids' college.
It's still paying him money.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously, you want that. Like, I know it's not going to be, like, the three remaining cast members running around.
No.
But just Force Awakens that.
Yeah. Just kind of have them be, like, the passing of the torch.
One of them has more scenes than another. I mean, I bet you could get Aykroyd and Hudson for a good chunk of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Murray, even though he's speaking positively on it, I don't think you can get him for more than a week.
You can do a lot in a week.
Yeah, we'll see. But whatever, I thought that was positive news for this long gestating Ghostbusters 3. It's been dead and alive and dead, and I've already talked about this in the past, of the roller coaster that was Ghostbusters 3. Speaking of fan bases, I don't know, this isn't a segue.
Mm, yes.
Rick and Morty season 4 has been announced for November.
I'm Pickle Rick.
Damn it. Great episode. I hate when people talk about it.
Well, I've only seen about 10 minutes total of Rick and Morty, so.
It's just one of those things I'm like, oh, good, I like this. But at the same time, the fandom was awful and it reached such a fever pitch in the last season. I'm just like, it can't get that bad again, can it?
Zach, this is 2019 and the internet is a thing. Don't sell it short. These things have a way of taking a life of their own.
It's everyone who's mad at Game of Thrones, I don't know.
I feel like
maybe don't watch Rick and Morty, I guess. Stay away.
Is anybody not mad about anything?
You mean like in pop culture or just in general?
In general.
No.
Did you see the Bill Nye video last week?
Yeah, on John Oliver.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. It was strange to hear Bill Nye drop F-bombs.
He's done it before with Oliver.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny. He's like, I taught you guys about photosynthesis, but now you motherfuckers.
Safety glasses off.
No, at least he wore safety glasses. I wish he had called it the blowtorch of science. Like everything used to be like the something something of science.
I don't remember that specifically. It's been a long time.
I love the Bill Nye show.
It's been a long, long time. Couldn't tell you much about it anymore. I remember the transitions.
Those were good.
The theme song is still in my head.
Bill. Yes, Bill Nye, the science guy. Yeah,
it's still in there.
Inertia is a property of matter.
Okay, it's not in there that far.
Yeah, see, I don't want to go word for word. I mean, I'm Bill Nye super fan.
That's enough. Batman. More Batman news, but this time it's comic book news.
Yes.
And I don't know. I debated whether to do this one or not, but I'll throw it out there. One of the greatest Batman artists of all time, like top five, Neil Adams, is coming back to do a Batman miniseries, Batman versus Ra's al Ghul, which he was a co-creator of that character too. That just popped into my head. I go into this with hesitation. One of the best of all time, but the last couple of things he's done when it was just him writing and writing and doing the art, off the wall bananas. And just strangely out of touch. Like, his last one was a Superman one, and the panel that just sticks out in my head just burned into my retina. It was like Superman going up to Jimmy Olsen, just be like, hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Superman is, that's Kryptonian for what's up. I know my Kryptonian, and that is...
It just felt so dated, and the whole story was weird.
Okay,
and,
okay, then if that was seared into your retina, I can only imagine what today's movie review...
I don't know. I want it to be good, and I'm going to check it out because it's Neil Adams. I mean, even if the story's wacky, the art's still going to be amazing because he's still one of the best out there.
Hey, Zach, what's up? At least it wasn't like, what's that? And he's, you know.
No, it wasn't that bad.
Doing that.
It felt like incredibly dated. I'm like, is it 2003?
Was he dressed as Superman or yes. As Clark Kent at the time?
No, Superman.
See, I think it would have played a little better if he were Clark Kent trying to be cool. But man, if Superman asks you, what's up? You got to answer. You are Man of Steel. You are.
Hey, speaking of comics, because this isn't out yet, but I got to read an advanced copy of it. Speaking of people who used to be great, and then they did some less than great stuff, but I think they're great again.
Okay.
This one's more positive.
All right, I'm listening.
Frank Miller is back doing Superman Year One. This has been talked about for a while. It's going to be three issues. There's three, like, massive issues, though. It must be, like, I don't know, 60, 70 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
Yeah, but I've read the first issue in full. Really solid. And I haven't really liked anything Frank Miller's done since, like, 97.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It had there's a lot of familiar elements, and there's going to be some definite, like, twist on the Superman lore a little bit. But it feels, kind of remind me a lot of, like, Jeff Loeb's Superman for All Seasons, or Grant Morrison, Frank quietly did All-Star Superman.
Yeah.
I think it was the first issue, at least, was really good, and I really recommend it. And this is coming from someone who, I love Frank Miller, one of the greatest of all time. But there was a point when quality kind of took a big old dip.
Okay.
And even recently, he's done some stuff that I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But wasn't like a big fan of. But this one, I was like, oh my God, this is good. It's really good. So yeah, pick up Superman Year One, I guess. Pre-order that sucker now.
Does he say, what's up?
He does not.
Okay. So he's no longer hip. He's a more edgy, street-bound Superman.
Well, it's him as a small child, mostly.
So he's an edgy, backcountry road of Smallville, Kansas man. They haven't, boy, child thing. I mean, thing.
Out there, they haven't got the what's up commercials yet.
Oh, well.
I say as someone from Maine. See, Colbert took a shot at the Maine accent thing.
No, I did not see that.
Hard to disagree. Yeah, why not? I'll mention it because there's only one other bit of news I had.
Okay.
It always feels weird shilling for big companies, but I do think it's interesting. Marvel, leading up to their big X-Men relaunch, they're releasing like a documentary series called like X-Men Seminal Moments.
Okay.
In chunks. I watched the first one. It's like 9 minutes. It was really good, and there was a couple anecdotes I hadn't heard before, going through like these big X-Men moments of history, so I don't know, check them out. I thought they were good. Or the one that's out, if you want to learn about the weird, complicated history of the X-Men.
You know what I stumbled across, if you want to watch it for some interest, on YouTube? And it was kind of a rabbit hole for a little bit. It was Draw Comics the Marvel Way.
Yeah, that was a book.
It was also a video with Stan Lee and some artist that wasn't Jack Kirby. Who's another famous Marvel artist?
Were these like old videos or like in the 90s?
Like 90s.
It might have been like Todd McFarlane.
No, it wasn't him. It was an older looking gentleman.
Maybe Romita Sr.?
Ooh, yes. I think that was it. Yes.
If I had to take a stab in the dark at the 90s.
Yeah. It was very 90s. Very 90s VHS.
I think he might have. Did he do that book originally? I don't know. I'm sure someone's yelling at me right now.
I tried to watch it for a little bit and like learn if there were things I didn't know, but I knew some things. I didn't realize the term gutter was a thing in comics.
Yeah.
That's the space between panels.
Yep.
I learned something.
Yeah, I don't know what else to tell you. Yes, that's what it is. You can see them on most panels, on most pages.
Yes. the gutter.
But that will do it for the news, at least on the pop culture side of things. From the Great Lakes Avengers to the Los Angeles Lakers, it's time for Jared Sports Reports.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. Bear tested. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
It's time for another Jared Sports Report.
I picked that one specifically because Magic Johnson is burning all bridges.
Yeah, well, see, yeah.
That was wild. He went on First Take.
Yeah, he went on First Take and he ripped everybody and everything.
This is why everyone's stupid and how I got backstabbed and I don't care. Magic out.
Oh, yeah. He definitely, on his way out, he took the match to the can of gasoline on his way out. But anyway, that
as a bridging aficionado, yeah, I back him.
You're like, yeah, that was actually really good.
God, that's cathartic. Yeah. Shake it out.
More importantly, let's talk about some like sports news that's relevant to people in our area. The Boston Bruins.
It's not just people in our area.
Okay, fair enough.
We have an international audience.
This is Jared Sports Reports, not Zach's Sports Reports. Okay, so there. The big news out of New England, two big stories. One happened late last week. The Boston Bruins finished their sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're on their way to play for the Stanley Cup. Game one is going to be next Sunday, so they'll have a 10-day layoff.
Because they don't even know who won.
No, it's between...
It's just TBA.
Yeah, it's between the Sharks and the Blues, so that's TBA. It'd be kind of cool for the Sharks, because Joe Thornton is the captain of the Sharks, and he used to be the captain of the Bruins before they traded him to San Jose. So that would add some spice and some pepper to the Stanley Cup Finals. Let's see, what else? Zdeno Chara, who was a healthy scratch pretty much from that Game 4, has been skating with the team. They're having an open inter-squad scrimmage on Thursday, I believe. $20, you can go watch them play each other at the Garden and spend money on beer and popcorn and souvenir cups and things like that.
So a lot of money.
Yes. Let's see, what else of excitement? The Red Sox are Red Soxing. Still kind of like, it's not the point of the season where I can really kind of get too deeply. Yeah, exactly.
Still a lot of games to go.
There was a good fist fight in NASCAR last weekend.
72 left.
There's 162 games in a year. There was really good, there's some fisticuffs in NASCAR over the weekend at the All-Star race. And of course, the big, big news coming out of New England is Julian Edelman has signed a 2-year extension with the Patriots. $8 million signing bonus, $12 million guaranteed. So it's worth around $18 million plus the signing bonus. So 2-year, $18 million extension, $12 million guaranteed. And his base salary will be $1 million this year. So that helps with some of the cap space going forward. So it looks like he's going to finish his career in New England. And 2-year deal kind of maybe indicates that Brady is probably going to wrap up in 2 years as well. Some people are kind of conjecturing that. But it's big to have him back, one of Brady's favorite receivers.
Well,
he missed some games last year.
Dynasty continues.
So. Hey, you know, it's just crying him a beer over here.
Most hated team in sports.
Yeah, well, we've become the Yankees. It is what it is, but...
Hey, you remember that amazing Game 7 buzzer beater?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Raptors pissed all that away.
What did I say?
It's not going well.
What did I say?
I turned on one the other night.
And call it the greatest shot in the history of the NBA playoffs. You have to give it context. Is it one of the most fantastic high drama moments? Yeah, probably. But probably the most enduring shot to me in the NBA playoffs is Jordan's, like we talked about, against the Jazz.
I turned it on the other night, like halfway through it, it was like down 28. I'm like, holy.
They did win the other night, though, in overtime.
Yeah, but overall, they could come back. It's not done.
No, it's not. But that's it for Jared Sports Reports.
Oh, well, I guess we'll just continue on in the sports world, because you may or may not know it's the NBA playoffs. So let's focus in on the NBA with one of its up-and-coming stars of the early 90s. This is even counted as a triple threat, because he does everything. Video games, music, basketball, and movies.
That's quadruple threat, Zach. That's four.
There's an extra one in there.
That's quadruple threat.
I don't usually hear above triple. Who says quadruple threat?
I just did.
I said more than triple.
Yeah, this was a quadruple threat to my senses.
Less than set.
This movie made me want to be blind, deaf, not taste anything anymore.
But we are going to move on.
It made me feel emotion.
To a movie review of Steel.
Ugh.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret. I'm always angry.
It's time for an Editor's Note podcast review.
Who is Steel, you ask?
John Henry Irons.
Yeah, he's a Superman supporting character. I think probably best known from his run in the 90s following the death of Superman. He was one of the four Supermen to step up, put a big S on his shield, massive metal suit, wore a red cape, full mask, and a big old hammer because, you know, John Henry. I hear he was a steel driving man.
He was. He was indeed a steel driving man.
And that's how he gets the name Steel.
Yes.
I wouldn't say a super popular comic book character, but enough exposure. Definitely. Especially in the 90s, like when this was coming out in 97. I had to think about that.
This probably certainly helped kill him and kill off his popularity.
It was one of those things in the 90s. They had gotten rid of the S off of the Shield and he was his own character. Then this movie came out. They're like, put the S back on.
Well, there is. I mean, you have a Superman tattoo makes an appearance in this movie.
Oh, yeah, it does. This movie cost $16 million to make.
Did it really?
And it brought in a whole 1.7.
That is what you call that is a flop. That is
1.7 million. That's it.
You know what? That's a number in Shaq's career that's probably one of the few numbers that is worse than his free throw percentage.
Oh, geez. There's going to be enough free throw based jokes in this, at least in the movie.
Yeah.
So why did Shaq do this? He was up and coming. Reading his autobiography, he mentions it so incredibly briefly. He's like, yeah, I did like three movies. One of them was a lot of fun.
Wait, you read Shaq's autobiography?
Yeah.
Wow.
None of them were really that good, but, you know, I had fun. It never mentions them again. They are a passing reference to, like, Kazam, this, and that other one he did that I can't remember the name of.
I can't remember the other movie. It was bad.
But whatever. What's happening in this movie? Look, it's not going to be a straight review, because considering it only made $1.7 million, I'm assuming no one has actually seen this.
There are actually quite a few people have seen this, according to IMDb, the number of reviews. I just want to share with you.
You can't read all of that
no,
one.
No. I just want to share with you some of the quotes.
Some of the language got too racy for this show.
Well, let's just, I'll come back to some of the quotes from this movie, all right?
So what do we got? Shaq. By the way, I'm just going to call him Shaq.
Yes. So
I refuse to call him by his name. Maybe I'll switch him back and forth. I don't know.
What, Shaquille?
I meant to John Henry.
No. Shaq's character in this movie.
Shaq.
So pretty much the premise is that Shaq is a leading weapons developer for the Army. And of course, there's this overly ambitious, evil, also Army guy who...
Played by Judd Nelson.
Yeah. Bender really fell from grace here. That Breakfast Club stuff didn't straighten him out at all.
And Shaq's best friend, Sparky. And they just can't stop fingering each other.
Oh, my God. Why did you... Okay, so you said some of the language in one of these reviews is too racy, but then you go there.
It's true. They can't stop fingering each other.
Little ET finger touch, yes.
Yeah, and then they swirled around a bit. They do it a lot. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't like you saying it like that. But anyway...
It's true. They do it the whole movie.
This ambitious... quasi-evil who becomes super evil Judd Nelson turns the weapon up to 11 because 11's louder than 10.
Before that, he goes up to a senator. A senator is there for this weapons test.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, I've modified these myself to make them even more powerful. If you want to see like some of my stuff, what does that modification mean? The lever just goes up slightly higher.
Yeah, but it also causes a building to collapse on sparks.
Sparky!
Also, one of the first lines of the movie, this guy's getting shot at with a laser and a tanky comes out and he's like, you're roasting my nuts!
Yes, weapon testing with lasers.
Or he said, like, you're like, I'm on fire. And the general's like, I thought I smelt roasted nuts or something like that. It's something terrible.
So Sparky is crushed underneath this wall. Thankfully, she's not dead. Shaq is able to lift the wall off of her because he's Shaq.
Gotta get your lift in. Don't skip leg day.
Oh, also fun fact about this movie. They couldn't get a stuntman for Shaq because of his size.
Yeah.
So he does all of his own stunts and it is terrible.
It's not good. The slow motion chain trace.
So... they go to court, and Shaq points the finger at Craig T. Nelson. No, Judd Nelson.
Wow. Where did he come from in this?
It's a better movie now.
Yeah, so Judd Nelson gets kicked out of the Army, and
he's like, yeah.
Shaq quits the Army.
He's like, way to have your brothers in arms. He's like, you crushed my friend, Sparky.
I don't think it was that dramatic. That would require some sort of emotion and acting from Shaq, who's got two things, weird grin and slow delivery.
So... yeah, that's true. Shaq returns home.
He also did a lot of eyebrow emoting.
Where he finds his little brother back in Los Angeles, played by Ray J. I only know him from one thing.
I don't even know who the hell Ray J is.
He's the rapper who had the sex tape with Kim Kardashian.
Oh, so he's been in two terrible movies that people can't stop watching.
When I was watching the credits, I'm like, Ray J?
Wow. I don't know what's a bigger deal. He was in this movie or Kim Kardashian would sleep with him after being in this movie.
But they go home to Shaq's mom and she's just trying to make the perfect souffle.
But apparently it's...
You have to be really quiet
apparently,
around
yeah,
it.
You disturb the souffle with your sound waves.
And it just keeps collapsing. And boy, I hope she figures it out by the end of the movie. That's going to be a good payoff.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Anyway, Judd Nelson's character has gone to this criminal lord who sells black market weapons by hiding them in video game machines.
Yeah, he goes to an arcade manager. He's like, you know how you like to...
And of course, the first arcade game we see...
NBA Jam.
Exactly.
Also, this arcade manager is wearing a 90s suit, which means it's way too big. Doesn't quite fit him.
He always likes to put a toothpick in his mouth.
He always has the longest, greasiest blonde mullet, like shoulder length.
Yes.
Oh.
But anyway.
That's just how that guy looks. I don't think that was a lot of costume design.
The thing about these weapons, though, is they're like generally non-lethal, like laser and like shockwave type weapons.
It's a comic book movie. It can't be lethal.
Okay, Batman v Superman would beg to differ. A lot of people die in that.
This came out the same year as Batman and Robin, by the way. Wow. Not a good year for DC movies.
No.
If you think DC movies are bad now, just think about 1997.
Wow, I would watch Batman and Robin over this again, by the way. Although there were some, I will say, some of the comedic beats, or the unintentional comedic beats in this. Anyhow.
Shaq goes to the streets because he's been hearing about all these bad gangs.
Yes.
And what does he find? None other than the weapons he was designing.
Knocking off a bank. And these guys are the like worst bank robbers ever. They're like hooting and hollering and making a giant scene about it in their gang. And
he's able to escape the weapons at a train yard by having the slowest roll you've ever seen. So imagine something that is 10 feet tall and 30 feet wide is about to fall on you. What is the direction you would go?
Away.
The short way, right? The 10-footer.
Yeah.
Like, just run 10 feet back.
No, he rolls to the middle of this train car that got knocked over by the sonic blast.
Well, he rolls about 17 times. He's just rolling on the ground in one line.
More importantly, the slow motion of the guy in the train yard who's laying with his head on the train tracks, and he just gets there just in time to prevent his decapitation.
Apparently, we're not as put off by the long, laborious roll that he did to get away from this thing falling. I'm like,
no,
go the other way.
I was put off when he got to the gate and he ripped it off its hinges.
He has an issue with hinges in this movie.
Yeah, doors and windows, things that open, not his forte.
But he escapes, and oh man, he calls the military. He's like, those are my weapons. And they're like, no, they're not. So he breaks a payphone, ripping it off its hinges.
Look, there's a guy, just random guy on the street, just looks at it and goes, huh.
Shaq has to get these weapons off the street, though.
So he has to go find Sparks.
But she's in the VA hospital. This is by far the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, which, by the way, the VA hospital resembling like the same hospital from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It really does.
Or Awakenings.
I don't know that one.
You don't know the movie Awakenings?
Sorry.
With Robert De Niro and Robin Williams?
Nah.
Great movie. Great movie. You need to see it.
Cool.
Anyhow.
Sparky is wheelchair bound after getting her legs crushed. So she's sadly sitting, just staring out the window. And Shaq comes in, gives her a really bad pep talk, instead of opening windows to show her the daylight and that she just can't stare at dirty windows all day. Why am I emoting? He just shoves the windows open, and that might sound to you like that means they open. No, he shatters them with a shove.
And the people cheer for him.
And then, because Shaq doesn't know how wheelchairs work, he picks her up by the wheels, fully.
But you missed the whole payoff line to this, because she's talking, well, sometimes shit happens, and this and that, and then, so at the end, she's like, what are you doing? He's like, this is happening.
Picks her up, full in wheelchair, and then everyone, like it's the end of the movie, like this is the greatest victory they've ever seen, everyone in the VA hospital gets up and cheers for this property destruction and abduction.
Yeah, nobody stops him.
They cheer him on. They're all, every single person stands up. They're like, yes, yes.
Meanwhile, Shaq is just like breaking the law.
That's the weirdest scene in this movie, and that is saying a lot.
No, that is not the weirdest scene in the movie. The weirdest scenes are coming up where they go to Uncle Joe's junkyard.
Sure.
Yeah. So you got Uncle Joe in his junkyard, which is...
I'm not sure whose uncle he is.
I don't know. He's somebody's uncle.
Possibly Shaq.
But more importantly, Uncle Joe, which you didn't realize after I told you this. I thought this was great. So Uncle Joe owns this graveyard. And
junkyard,
graveyard. Same. It's the place where Shaq's movie career went to die anyway. And he's able to acquire these pieces of junk for Shaq to be able to, and Sparks to be able to do these things. He's played by Richard Roundtree.
If you don't know that name, apparently he was the original Shaft.
He was the original Shaft. And the reason I bring this up is because when he finally, Shaq gets his uniform for steel, his big weapon is a hammer. And Uncle Joe says, yeah, I did the steelwork. I'm especially fond of the shaft. And then And then they totally break the fourth wall.
I just thought it was a dick joke.
No, it is more than that. Yeah. How do you feel about that now?
Oh, it's worse.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to share with you some of Uncle Joe's pearls of wisdom. All right. These are some quotes from the movie from Uncle Joe. Look at here, boy. You ain't Superman and you damn sure ain't getting paid. Uncle Joe, I did the iron work myself. I especially like the shaft.
You just did that one.
And then finally, well, I'll be dipped in shit and rolled in breadcrumbs. The wisdom.
A person wrote this.
The wisdom of Uncle Joe.
Oh, also, when they're getting all this stuff together to build Shaq's suit, Spark goes like, well, why don't we just go to the military to do this? And they go, we have something the military can never get. And then they just point to a bunch of trash piles. I'm like, that's just trash from regular people's homes, stuff that you were buying at Circuit City. This isn't advanced. The military can find all of this and not in piles of trash. What a stupid line.
You want to know what's interesting? I was looking through some of this. Here's something else when you talk about comic movies that year. This was the second comic book film featuring an African-American lead. Do you know what the first was?
Pre-97.
It was not pre-97. It was 2 weeks before this film came out.
Blade was 98, so it's not that. Spawn?
Correct. Well,
we're not playing a game tonight.
I asked you a question and you got it right.
People are just wondering why we have bells. We'll probably try for next week.
Okay.
But whatever. So Shaq builds his suit of armor, which is the most ill-fitting suit you've ever seen.
With the most rubbery steel mask you've ever seen.
There is one shot from behind the back where I swear to God it's tinfoil. They just shoved tinfoil to cover his skin.
And what's supposed to be like chainmail is definitely just shiny clothing, shiny cloth.
He finds these robbers in his new big suit, waggles his finger at them, and then they proceed to shoot him a million times with machine guns. And he just acts like he's bored and he's waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot him in the face.
Yeah, his whole bottom half of his head is hanging out.
His hands are fully exposed. His face is fully exposed. Just shoot him in the face. And Shaq's like, yeah. Oh, this just tickles.
There's some crazy...
If you shot him in the mouth, it wouldn't tickle.
There's a lot of language in this that's like these guys that are in a gang shooting. The first thing they say to him is, I'm going to smoke you like a blunt. Director Kenneth Johnson took a copy of the script to South Central L.A., spent a day with a group of kids to make sure the language of some of the characters was believable. He found the wrong group of kids.
He found 13-year-olds trying to be cool.
Also, this film grossed less in its entire run than Batman and Robin did in its opening weekend.
Wow. So Shaq, oh so slowly, after stopping them.
Oh, they made a mistake.
He saves a purse, a guy from snatching a purse, too. He stops that. That's important for later.
Yeah, because the guy had a giant knife. He's like, I'm going to shank you. And then he hangs him by his jacket. He's like, there's a guy hanging around the corner.
After the slowest possible escape, Shaq is caught by the police, probably because he moves incredibly slowly.
Can we talk about his grappling gun that just came out of nowhere? Here's also something
that
I thought
was really
that
bad too.
In an interview with Slash Film, writer-director Kenneth Johnson, so the director was the writer, revealed that he originally wanted Wesley Snipes to play Steel, but Warner Brothers felt that casting Shaquille O'Neal would help sell more toys and merchandise.
It did not.
No, it didn't.
I wonder if there even was a toy line. I'm not looking it up, but yeah. I'm curious.
Anyway.
The police arrest Shaq at his house. We found him. He's really, really big. And they bring him in for the police lineup, but the people that he stopped the purse snatching from happening don't identify him. They're like, that's not the man.
There's also this whole sequence we skipped over when he was forging the suit where there was this R&B song playing.
Oh, yeah, some of the music in this is fine and some of it's atrocious. I'm like, the 90s.
Did you know that there was a soundtrack to this?
Oh, I'm sure. Was it released on cassette and CD?
I don't know, but there was an original song. Actually, there was a couple. One called Steal Yourself, written by Kenneth Johnson and Marvin Winans.
Waynes?
Winans. Then there was this hit, Straight Playin', written by DJ Quick, G1, Peter Guns, Lord Tariq, and Shaquille O'Neal, performed by Shaquille O'Neal. I'm going to have to listen to it later.
Of course. Of course, Shaq. God, he's a real Will Smith of the 90s. Rappers rapping in their own movies.
So anyway, back
you know
to this real,
Shaq's a rapper.
Back to this real piece of garbage.
More than a triple threat.
So, oh my God. Let's just skip over a bunch of crap in the middle, because that's pretty much the middle act is terrible.
Well, after Shaq escapes police custody, he goes back home and discovers that Judd Nelson, I said Craig T. Nelson again, that Judd Nelson has kidnapped Sparky.
Well, also his like little brother cousin
Ray J.
Ray J.
You know, yeah,
he's in the gang too. He's in the gang. He's a gang member. Anyway.
But Sparky's been captured, so Shaq goes to save her. I don't know why, because she apparently put lasers on her wheelchair.
That was probably the best part about the movie.
There her are lasers on her wheelchair.
I mean, her wheelchair is the envy of all of comics, more so than Professor X's. Has all the weapons, and it also has a feature where it has like smoke that comes out the back that allegedly makes it go faster.
Allegedly. But Shaq shows up as Steel.
He gets Judd Nelson's character to soliloquy, and he falls into the hole. He gets his big hammer weapon, and Jack's like, you definitely don't want to do that, or you don't want to try that. Or
he's like, don't press the red button.
And so what does the bad guy do?
He's like, I'm going to press the red button. He's like, oh, you definitely don't want to pull that trigger. He's like, I'm going to pull the trigger.
And so
he's like, oh, you don't want to do it. He's like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So Steel also just turns out to be one giant-ass magnet.
I'm making this sound way more interesting than it was.
It wasn't. It was not interesting at all. Not even close. Not even remotely.
Yeah, so it makes him into a magnet, and Judd Nelson is cannoned away.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the basic of it. But what about the souffle?
What about the bomb?
Oh, yeah, the bomb. We forgot about that.
The bomb's going to go off.
Yeah, Ray J and Shaq get caught in this storage bin with a grenade, which takes about 10 days to go off. It definitely does not operate as grenades operate. So there's this hole in the mesh.
Ray J says, basketball hoop sized.
Yeah. And Ray J's like, just bend your knees and follow through. And Shaq goes, I never make these. Another terrible fourth wall. Wah, wah.
They also did one earlier in the movie about his free throws.
Wah,
some kids
wah.
Toss him a ball. They're like, you could do it. He just misses wildly. Yeah. I never make these. And to be fair,
he didn't.
He had a terrible percentage.
He was not very good at free throws. Hack a Shaq, baby.
I mean, at least he attempted those compared to threes.
Yes.
I think he took three in his entire career. Made one. So 33%. Not should really bring it up. But they escape and they all gather around the souffle. And guess what?
At the new restaurant called Black and Blue.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But the souffle is perfect. And
we forgot about this one part.
What did I possibly forget?
When he calls the general using the voice modulator.
Of Arnold, yes.
Of Arnold.
It's like, blah! You cannot have the weapons.
You would not have my weapons, General.
Blah,
and the general's like, I know you're not Arnold Schwarzenegger. Are you John, not Henry Irons?
No, I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
I will talk to you later, General. Peace. And the general's like, oh, it is John Henry Irons. That son of a bitch. Yeah, this is some real garbage. Real hot garbage. Like, this makes, like, dumpster fires look like I'd rather watch a dumpster fire than this.
Yeah, this... It's hard to watch a movie more 90s than this. Maybe like Surf Ninjas. That might be more 90s.
Wow. I would rather watch Surf Ninjas. That had a believable plot.
This one's pretty rough.
Yeah.
The 90s is the worst decade for film. There are some good ones in there, but if you had to do like pound for pound, 90s is probably the worst decade that's ever graced cinema. And this one ain't helping.
I mean, it was some real, real garbage.
Of all the comic book movies we've watched.
You can tell Judd Nelson doesn't really even... He just hams it up. He doesn't care. He's like, who wrote this garbage?
He doesn't want to be there.
No, he does not.
He's like, it's a paycheck. Who cares?
Yeah. Shaq, oh my gosh. He was not a good actor.
It's like he has brain.
Great basketball player, terrible actor.
It's like he has brain damage of this entire thing.
It's possible.
It's a weird delay on everything.
And so, as I have wont to do sometimes, when we have a terrible movie on here, and you just think it's me saying it's a bad movie, I would like to share with you some thoughts of people from the internet. This one gave it, the movie cat gives it 5 out of 10 stars. Of course, this was back in August 2000. Steel is one of those films where you constantly have to keep telling yourself, this is not a TV movie. Cheap, outrageously bad superhero vehicle for the acting talents, of a 7'1" basketball player, Shaquille O'Neal. Commendably, the film does have three clear acts, and Steel's emergence through underplayed doesn't happen for over 40 minutes. In jokes are aplenty, as it mentions Batman, Superman, Jerry Maguire, three instances of John Irons having to net basketballs, the final time a life-saving toss of a hand grenade. The special effects are reasonable for a TV movie, but this is, pinch me, I was imagining it, a real cinema movie. They are cheap. Steel is badly written, contains atrocious dialogue, and is poorly acted. Repetitive music score, forgot about that. 3 out of 10 stars from UT Guard 14. Garbage superhero movie based on the Superman spinoff character Steel, one of the all-time bad comic movies. Shaquille O'Neal is terrible delivering lines like he's reading a menu. I suppose there is some unintended comic value of so bad it's good variety, but it mostly just stinks.
It's too boring for that.
Ramstein 2 writes, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I don't believe this. Perhaps with the exception of barbed wire, I don't think I've watched anything that comes anywhere near this. Actually, when I come to think of it, barbed wire is actually better than this.
Oh, God, there was a toy line. I checked.
Wow.
Look at that. Look at that piece of crap.
That doesn't look anything like anything he wore in the movie.
Except his stupid face is on it.
Wow. With a power gauntlet. Ben Aries 2 writes, I've seen Steel and I'll never recover. I've never seen a movie as bad as this one. A few come close, but none have the power to topple Steel. First of all, when people are going to realize that most athletes can't act, especially, that's all capital letters, Shaq. The effects, not so special. In fact, they're terrible, which is ironic because so is the plot, acting, and generally everything else in this so-called movie.
I don't know. I saw him in Uncle Drew, and he's still pretty bad at acting.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched that movie. What of it?
1 out of 10. DC Comics' worst nightmare. This definitely isn't your father's Superman. Shaq Fu in an iron suit. This is the one I can't read.
You can just, there's a couple lines.
Ever wonder what it feels like?
Nope, not that line.
Okay,
that's the one you can't.
He can't make video games, music, and can barely play basketball, so why do you think he could do this? He might as well call this Shaq Fu the live-action movie, because that's exactly what this movie is. It's a big F you from Shaq.
All right, I think that'll probably do it for Steel.
Yeah. Oh, this one. Worst, period, comic, period, book, period, movie, period, ever, period.
I don't think it's the worst.
It's certainly up there.
Yeah.
What's 7 foot 2 high and walks around in plain steel? This must be one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I have no idea why Shaq took part in this. There's nothing good to say about the film. It's lousy script. It has bad actors. The, quote, action sequences suck big time, and there's no more to say about this film. That just everything about it sucks.
To be fair, the actress who plays Sparky, I think, is
she
trying.
She did a good job.
She's trying, at least.
She had that. That's the redeeming quality.
She is the only one trying. But
Big Joe? Come on, Uncle Joe.
All right, that'll do it for Steel. It's a piece of crap, and I'm glad I never have to watch it again. I'm sad I did once.
All right, let's go to letters to the editors.
A lot of questions, number one. Damn few answers.
Here's another one of your letters to the editors.
Make it so.
Now that's the theme of 2019. Weird crap. Can't wait till next week. I got a good one.
Oh, God. What's our letter?
Now Sam Wilson has taken over as Captain America. How's he going to use that shield?
To protect himself.
Well, he doesn't have this. This is what I get for paraphrasing. Because he doesn't have the super soldier serum or any hand-to-hand combat of that nature. What's he going to do with that thing?
He's just strap it on the back of his Falcon suit, and I don't know. Maybe he's going to learn. Maybe they'll find some superhero serum.
They'll probably just teach him.
Oh, that too.
I mean, in the comics, he just basically just started using it when he got handed it to him. He's like, ooh, cool. Going back to when Bucky did it, part of the reason that they said that it had to be Bucky that took over was because of his mechanical arm, and he's one of the only people that could effectively use it with his enhancements. But then they kind of dropped that when it happened to Sam. So I don't know. He'll probably just use it.
Yeah, I think he's going to use it as a shield. It's not going to be anything.
No, he'll still toss it about and bap it off a guy. But I'm sure it's not going to be like the same like parkour kinetic fighting that you were doing with Steve. But
no,
I'm sure he'll toss it and bounce it off a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it still works. You don't have to be worthy to lift the shield.
Spider-Man even has that great line in Civil War. He's like, that thing does not obey the laws of physics.
Yes, it's true. It doesn't.
So he'll probably just toss it about.
Good for him.
Enjoy himself. It's a big old shield.
Have himself a time with the shield.
And I don't know. I wonder when that Winter Soldier Falcon show is going to be set.
Good question.
They might change the name of it. I don't know. Maybe that's what the show is, him learning to use the shield. That could be an aspect of it.
Yeah, that'd be a fun kind of thing to do with it.
Because, I mean, instead of just seeing like, oh man, he was training with people, you could have that longer period of time to be like, this is him continuously screwing up with it.
Yeah, like knocks himself out.
And we've seen Bucky use it effectively in the movie, so maybe Bucky could help him with it. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
A buddy cop movie.
I'm pitching.
Buddy cop TV show.
I'm pitching the show here. Like, guys, what about this for the arc? He learns to use the shield. They're like, that's like a montage scene. I'm like, ah.
Well, that's why you're not.
I pitched it for 8 episodes.
Well, it's already probably been successfully pitched considering it's going to be made.
Yeah. I don't know. He'll probably just use it, but I don't know. I kind of like that idea of seeing him not be great with it initially.
Mm, yes.
It'd be interesting because we very rarely see, especially in this world, anyone be fallible. Like, everyone is like the best at what they do.
Well, they are super.
Yeah, but Sam's not. He's just a guy.
That's fair.
I don't know. I think I'd like that.
So is Rhodey.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like that. But on the other hand, he could also just be fine with it when it comes around. So I guess that's the answer. It's one of those two.
All right.
You can think of your own.
I think that's about that. There's really no other place to go with it.
All right, you want to bring us home?
I'll bring us home. Thanks for listening to the show. If you liked it, support us. Go to patreon.com/editorsnotecomics for $1 a month. You get this show a whole day early. Egads. I don't know how you could live without it a day early.
Why? Great upsell.
Yeah, no, you should get a day early. But if you don't want it just for that, you can also get Patreon-exclusive podcasts from Zach and Emily on all new spoiler and spoiler-free reviews of the releases of Buffy, Angel, and Firefly.
I feel like you stalled for a minute there trying to remember.
I was trying to remember. Well, I'm trying to think of what order I want to do them in. For $5 a month, you can become a Duke or Duchess of the podcast and get your very own Duke or Duchess sounder on the show from Sound Guy. He'll take care of you, make you sound really important.
Never mentioned this, but, you know, actually, you know, if you could review...
Review, rate, and subscribe on the show.
We'd appreciate helpful, that too. Yeah, we never mentioned it.
Tell us how great we are.
Because it feels like shilling. Actually, we got a lot of positive feedback last week. I just didn't tell you.
Oh, thanks. Way to make me feel better about myself. Was it on the internet? Can I find this positive feedback and read it, or is this like word of mouth?
No, it's internet. It was mostly.
Oh, how do I read the reviews?
I think they're mostly on they've all coming in on like random YouTube videos from like the past.
Oh, so I should just go back through the YouTube channel and read some of the comments?
Just click through hundreds of videos going, which ones have the comments?
I've got time on my hands. Also, you can visit Zach at the store, 210 Water Street in Hollowell. The construction's almost over. They got one lane of paving left. The store's been open the whole time. So stop in and see Zach at the store. Or you can visit him online. He's on Facebook, and he's also at editorsnotecomics.com.
And I do the Twitter. I like to tweet.
Oh, yes. He's also on the Twitter.
I try not to abuse it, though. Like, I don't like to do more than like one tweet a day unless it's like coming out with new releases.
Yeah, well, you tweeted like two or three things today.
Yeah.
Because
it's the day before new releases.
Yeah, Wednesday's new comic book day. So.
And you're on Twitter.
At Junior Rich.
Next week, here's the thing. Dark Phoenix, the movie, is coming out. I'm like, well, maybe we should do the Dark Phoenix saga. Maybe a condensed version of it. Because, you know, it's a sprawling thing. It took a couple of years. But then I thought, why the hell are we going to do that? It's not like the movie is going to take anything from the actual arc. So instead,
oh boy,
we're going to do that time that Superman was in a porno.
Jesus Christ. Why? What is this?
That's real.
I don't care that it's real.